I relish what John saw and what John the Revelator said concerning those that die in the Lord. Blessed are those that die in the Lord. Yea, saith the Spirit, they rest from their labors, but their works do follow them. And we have to keep following the Lord. And just, aren't you glad we have a meeting place? I mean, we can meet our family again one day in heaven. We get to meet one another again around His throne. It's not about you know, the money that we make in this life. It's not about the prestige that we might receive from life. It's all about getting ready to go home. We're pilgrims. We're strangers. We're just passing through. This time that we're in right now is just a journey. We have a destination, and we're going to that glorious destination. Those of us that are saved, and we want to take our family with us. We want to get everybody in the boat, you know, that we can, especially our family members and our friends and our loved ones. We want to make sure that they know for themselves that they're saved by the grace of God, and that when they come to the crossing of the Jordan, that when they come to the death crossing, that's what we refer to concerning the Jordan crossing. When they come to death crossing, that they know where they're going. All of us know we're going to die. And this is a place of preparation. We can eliminate the sin from our lives where we can go and commune with God forever. The precious blood of Jesus Christ atones and blots out our sin debt, where we can go to be with God in heaven. Amen. We can escape the wrath. We can escape the eternal condemnation, the judgment of sin upon our lives. And we can, through the righteous blood of Jesus Christ, have a pleasant, glorious place to live forever. God is going through this world right now by the power of the Holy Spirit and through the work of the church, and He is gathering Himself a people. A people that's redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. And when the Lord Jesus Christ comes back, His second coming will be a time when He redeems and gathers the redeemed from the four corners of the world and brings them home. Home! Now when we die, our spirits go back to the God who gave it, and we go spiritually into the presence of God, but there's more to it than that. He's coming back to raise the dead, to show His power in redeeming not only lost humanity, but the entire world. This world is His. Through His sacrifice, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world was the only one found worthy to open the book, loosen the seals, and look thereon. Amen. Only one. The only one who is worthy to hold in His hand the world and all of humanity and all of history, and the history of this world is His story. It's His story. All of human history unfolds in relationship to His death on Golgotha's hill. He is the owner. God has given Him this world and all that's in it. And one of these days He's coming back to redeem us. Praise God. What a blessing to know Him. Let's pray for those that go to the other side. But isn't it good to have hope? Now we're not talking about just hope so, maybe so, think so kind of hope. We're talking about biblical hope. Biblical hope is an unseen assurance. Something you know to be factual, something you know absolutely. It's a spiritual reality that you're assured of, but you've just simply not yet seen it. That's why we talk about a time and a place, like we sang just a few moments ago, where you get the assurance from God that your sin debt has been canceled. Well, you get the assurance from God that you know that you're redeemed and one of His children. There's some kind of spiritual transition that takes place deep inside of your soul that moves you out of the dark places of life and moves you into the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. What a marvelous thing it is to move out of darkness. I'm talking about spiritual darkness into spiritual light. Only God can do that. When you have that assurance and you have that time and a place where you get redeemed, you have hope. An assurance, a spiritual assurance that you're going to heaven. I mean, I know I'm going to heaven. Now, I know the religious world, much of the religious world doesn't understand knowing that you're saved, knowing that you're going to heaven. I mean, most of the people you talk with, they're working religiously, you know, they're hoping for some kind of humanistic achievement that'll appease God on the day of judgment. That's not how this works. That's not how this works. The only thing that appeases the wrath of God was the death of Jesus Christ. And it's by grace. I mean, it's wholly and completely by grace. Amen? That's how you get saved, through the work of Jesus Christ. Our salvation is based upon the merits of Jesus Christ. We put faith, we put our trust, we sink our life into the death of Jesus Christ. He is our only hope and our only way of redemption and our only way of appeasing the wrath of God. I'm glad I know. I know I'm saved. I'm glad that I can look my family members in the eye and they tell me for themselves, I know, I'm good, okay? I was speaking to Naomi's brother, and I talked to him several times about being saved, and I stood there just a few feet from his mother in the casket, and I asked him again about where he stood with the Lord, and he said, well, I think I'm okay. I think it's not good enough. Amen. You need to know you're saved. You need to know for yourself. That you need to make your calling and your election sure. That's what the Bible says. You need to make sure that you're saved. And you can know. Let me get an amen. You can know that you're going to heaven. You can know you're a child of God. You can know you're saved. You can know that. And I'm glad that my children, you know, that's what I waited for. That's what you wait for, right? When your children look you in the eye and they tell you that they know for themselves that they're one of the redeemed, that they've had a connection and a communion with God based upon the blood of Jesus Christ that has made a way where they can know for themselves that they're on their way to heaven. I'm glad my parents told me that. I remember seeing my grandfather standing in the Amen Corner at Pleasant Hill Missionary Baptist Church, an old church that goes back to 1845 up in Simpson County, Kentucky. And he was a big man, a tall man, about 6'4", and an old farmer, rough. I mean, he was rough. Rough man. But I've seen him get filled with the Spirit and big old alligator tears roll down his cheek as he would testify of the saving work of Jesus Christ. I was just a little boy, but that was imprinted upon my mind. I'm going to see my grandfather again. Amen. Y'all know what I'm talking about? They have the evidence in their lives that their sins have come beneath the crimson flow and their sins were canceled by the blood of Jesus. They have that assurance. They have that fruit. They have that evidence in their lives. And praise God for that. Amen? You have to have something more than just, I think I'm okay. You need evidence in your life. You know a tree by the fruit it bears, Jesus said. That's how you know. Evidence is there. That they're trusting in the redeeming work of Jesus Christ to get them there, not in any human achievement that they have done. I didn't mean to preach. But I'm glad. I'm glad we can know. You know, Someone else, something on your heart. I got kind of worked up. But what a blessing. Isn't it a blessing that we know that we're redeemed? Isn't it a blessing to know you're redeemed by the blood of the Lamb? Now, children, listen to me. You need to know for yourself that you're a child of God. Your parents can't let you know that. The preacher can't let you know that. The church can't reveal that to you. It has to be revealed to you by the Heavenly Father. You can know Him as the true Messiah, the only begotten Son of God. You can know that. And it's a revealed knowledge that you acquire through the work of redemption. And I tell you what, when you repent of your sins and you put your faith in Jesus Christ, you'll know. Yes, you will. Yeah. When you surrender to the gospel, you'll know. Nobody will have to tell you. The Lord will let you know. I don't know how to, I can't explain it. You've just got to experience it for yourself. He speaks deep down in your soul. It's beyond words. It's a revelation. It's a perception. You just know. You just know. And everybody needs to have that. Everybody has to have that. That's the new birth. Everybody must be born again to enter the kingdom of God. You must be born again to enter the kingdom of God. That's how this works. You must. That's what Jesus said. Read it for yourself. It's in John chapter 3 and in verse 8 as Jesus was speaking to a religious man. I mean, a Pharisee. We're talking about a scholar. We're talking about somebody with a doctorate of divinity who had never been born again. We got a bunch of those out there. And he said, you must be born again to enter. You must be born again to see the kingdom of God. And then he went on in verse 8 and he said, you know what you need to experience and you have to experience. I'll never forget when I was speaking to a friend of mine, he used to print the Baptist beacons years ago, Bill Smith, and we debated a lot of scripture. We talked for hours about religion, and one day I just looked at him and I said, Bill, I said, have you experienced John 3 and 8? Have you experienced John 3 and 8? I understand you've been baptized. I understand you're a good church member. I understand that you're very faithful. I understand that you understand scripture, but have you experienced what Jesus said every man must experience in John chapter 3 and verse 8. Have you experienced that? The wind bloweth where it listeneth. Thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh or whither it goeth. So is everyone. Everybody say everyone. Everyone that's born of the Spirit. And I said, Bill, I said, it says right here in St. John that everyone must have one of these experiences. When did you have yours? I'm not talking about doctrine. I'm not talking about religion. I'm not talking about the Methodist, the Catholic, the Church of Christ, the Baptist. None of that matters. None of that matters. When did you have one of these that Jesus said every man must have to go to heaven? Remember, he just kind of looked at me funny. He said, I've never had one. I've never had one of those. I don't know what that's talking about. I can't relate to that verse. I don't know what that means. And I said, Bill, I said, you need to find out what is recorded in John 3 and 8. You need to find out what that is and have one. Weeks went by. I went back to have the Baptist beacon printed. I'll never forget this. I didn't mean to get off on this. I walked into his. He had his own business. He had a printing business. I walked into his business and he looked at me and he said, I've got one. I have one. I said, what are you talking about? I mean, I didn't even understand what he's talking about. You got one what? You know, I've got one of those John 3 and 8s. I said, well, Bill, tell me about it. He said, I was sitting down with my wife. We were studying those passages of Scripture. And we looked at one another and we concluded we didn't have one of those. He said, I got down in the floor in my dining room underneath the table. And I called upon the Lord and I experienced what John said I must experience. And we just started rejoicing. We started rejoicing. He said, you know what? He said, most of these people I go to church with, they don't know anything about this. And he got up and testified. He interrupted the service. And they don't let you do that there. He told everybody about getting saved. Amen. I'm glad I've got one of those. Aren't you? Everyone must have one. Look, folks, you know, what really puzzled me, I thought he was going to join Landmark where I pastored in Memphis and be a Baptist. And he really confused me. He told me, he said, you know what I'm going to do? He said, I'm going to stay over here. I'm going to work here. There's a lot of lost people here. They don't know anything about this. See, I don't care if they add baptism to salvation as long as they... Well, I do care, but I mean, you know what I'm saying. As long as they get saved, that's the important thing. But to add something like that and bypass the most important part of what Jesus said about the spiritual birth is damning to the soul. That's damning to the soul. And when you repent of your sins and you put faith in Jesus Christ, you'll be saved. Amen. Isn't that wonderful? Now, here's the deal. This is one of the main things that we believe here at this church, isn't it? You got to know you're saved. We won't even baptize you unless you know you're saved. I won't baptize you unless you tell me of a time and a place where you got saved. Just always being a Christian, that's not good enough. Because the Bible says we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. All of us are sinners. Jesus Christ came to save sinners. Paul said, of whom I am chief. That's what it's all about. The salvation of sinners. Being born from above. And so you have to tell us when you come up to unite with a church. And listen, this thing is so personal. I believe in a personal Savior. No third party involved. Jesus is a personal Savior. This thing is so personal, it'll happen in a way that nobody will know it's happened but you. And then you got to share it with somebody else or we'll never know. And that's what a public profession is, sharing what happened to you personally. Oh, what a blessing it is to know. I'm glad my family members... No, I want my grandchildren to know for themselves that they're saved. Amen? I want you little children to know. I want the adults here that aren't sure where they stand with the Lord. I want them to know. I want everybody to know for themselves that they're going to heaven, that they've been saved, that the blood of Jesus has been applied to their account. And that's the most important thing. It really is. I don't know how to stress that enough, but that's the most important thing. And you know what? Nothing else in your life really matters other than that. We're talking about eternity, right? Where you will spend eternity. Let me ask you a question. Let me ask you a probing question. Very simple question. It's the very question I ask my own kids when they were young from time to time. If you should die right now, right this very minute, where would you spend eternity? There's only two places. There's no such thing as a purgatory. You'll either go to heaven or you'll go to hell. Amen? And how you respond to that question and the basis on which you respond to that question is extremely important. It is the most important question a person can be asked. Where will you spend eternity if you die right now? And if you're not right with the Lord, you need to get right today. Now is the acceptable time. Today is the day of salvation. Amen? Right now, nail this thing down between you and God. You know what? I believe somebody could get saved today, don't you? I believe the blood of Jesus is accessible and available to everyone today. I'm convinced that the Holy Spirit works with His people and works with His preaching and His truth and His church in a way that can cause you to see your lost condition, your need of salvation, and move your heart toward the cross. I believe in that kind of conviction. I really do. You know, I have, through the years, carried burdens for people that they didn't even know I carried. There have been people that have come into this church that I've been concerned about being saved. They didn't even know I was concerned about them getting saved. And I've spoken to people, I've talked to people, and I try to persuade people. And I think we need to be persuasive with the gospel. But the bottom line is this. It's on your shoulders. This is your life. You're the one that will have to repent. You're the one that will have to put faith in Jesus Christ. You're the one that will have to get saved. I can't do it for you. Your family can't do it for you. Your friends can't do it for you. But you'll have to do it for yourself. You'll have to come to the Lord for yourself. Jesus stood before the crowd. He opened up His hands and He invited people to come to Him. He said, "All ye that are labor and heavy laden, come unto Me. Come unto Me and I'll give you rest." Listen, there's one element in the aspect of redemption that's very important. You need to go directly to Jesus Christ for saving grace. Directly to Him. That's why we encourage people to come and pray. That's why we have a mourner's bench. You need to come up here and mourn over your sins. Put your faith in Jesus Christ. Experience grace for yourself. And you can do that. That's where I got it. On a mourner's bench, calling upon the Lord. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. Look, folks, you'll never get saved till you pray. Until you humble yourself. Till you admit your sinfulness and your need of salvation. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. Those are the folks that get saved. You have to call on the Lord. You have to pray. I invite people to pray. To call on the Lord, to seek the Lord. The Bible says, seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. Let the wicked man forsake his ways and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Turn to God and He will abundantly pardon. Listen, if you'll turn your heart to God, He will abundantly pardon. If you'll humble yourself before the Lord will lift you up. Praise God. Amen? You draw nigh to God and He will draw nigh to you. Yeah. We're going to have an altar prayer. I'm glad I'm saved and I know I'm going to heaven. I'm thankful for Pat's dad and the work that he's done. But you know what? It's the work of the cross that makes all this possible for us to have hope and assurance. And eternal life is the work of the cross that we rally around. And anytime we go through any kind of discouragement, anytime we're going through death, anytime we go through difficulty, we just rally around the cross. We look to the cross. It saved us and redeemed us. It has given us eternal life. Those of you here this morning, you've never been saved by the grace of God. Children, listen to me. You need to be saved. Today's the day. Now's the time. Come, turn your heart from sin. Turn it toward God. Trust in what Jesus did when He died on the cross of Calvary to pay your sin debt. To bear the wrath that you deserve because of your own transgressions. Trust in Him with all of your heart and you'll be saved. Believe in Him with all of your heart. And He will save your soul from death. Let's stand. Let's sing a verse of some song. As we stand and sing, I want us to get on the altar. I want us to have an altar prayer. I want those that are here this morning that have never been saved by the grace of God. Children, listen to me. Listen to me. This is important. God is calling. And He wants you to find the Lord. He is calling out, and He will deal with you. He'll come to you. He'll make you uneasy. He'll trouble you. He'll work in your heart and in your life. God is here. Amen? The Holy Spirit convicts. Jesus said, I've got to go away. And He said, when I go away, I'm going to send the Comforter. He said the Holy Spirit would come and dwell with the people or dwell with the church. And He said that the Holy Spirit would reprove men of sin, of righteousness, and of the judgment to come. And the Holy Spirit is doing that this morning. Reproving you of sin. Reproving you of righteousness. Of unrighteousness especially. And the judgment to come. And I pray today, if you've never been saved by the grace of God, that you'll come to the Lord Jesus Christ, that you'll experience His grace, that you'll go away from here saying, I know I'm saved. I know I'm on my way to heaven, praise God. I know I'm one of the redeemed. I'm going to join the elect from the four corners of the world at the coming of the Lord and go into that celestial city. As we gather in this altar, I'm asking the people of God to gather in here, make it a little more comfortable for those that are lost and in sin. All at will, let's just come in and have an altar prayer. I pray that today will be the day of salvation. I pray that you'll come and know Him and experience His grace. Is there someone here today? Listen, you don't have to come and pray long, but just come and acknowledge that you need Jesus. Come and acknowledge that you need the Lord. Come and acknowledge that you're a sinner. Come and acknowledge that Jesus is your only hope. Come and acknowledge that He is the only way, the truth, and the life. Come, make those acknowledgments by bowing upon bent knee, calling upon His name, and seeking His face. Listen, the Lord's coming. He's coming in power and great glory, and He's going to gather the redeemed. You need to be one of the redeemed, part of the family of God. Oh, what a blessed thing it is. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. What a blessing it is to be a son and daughter of God, to be the children of God this morning. Listen, my friend, either you're a child of the devil or you're a child of God. There's no other place to be.
My sleep is gone.
You should die right now and have to face judgment. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27 that after death is the judgment. Listen, after death is the judgment. If you die unprepared and not ready to meet the Lord, you'll face judgment without the blood of Jesus upon your soul and upon your life. Listen, now's the time. Now's the time. It's time to seek the Lord until He rains His righteousness upon you. The Lord wants to save. He wants to redeem. Humble your heart before Him. I mean, just humble your heart before Him. Call upon His name. Say, Lord Jesus, save me. Just ask for deliverance from sin. He's there. He's listening. He hears us when we pray. Amen? He's listening for the faintest cry and the faintest call. Those sinners that call upon His name. The Bible says in Isaiah 57, it says, the Lord is high and lofty, inhabiting all of eternity. But He dwells with those that are of a broken heart. He visits those that are of a contrite spirit. Be broken this morning. Be contrite over your sins. And the Lord will come into your very midst. Praise God. Sing, O daughters of Zion. Lo, the Lord is in our midst, saith the Lord. Praise God for His power. Praise God for His glory. Praise God for His goodness. I pray today, children, listen to me. Find the Lord. Nail this thing down. Call upon His name. Surrender. I mean, just surrender. Pour yourself out like water upon the dirt. Like the old prophet Jeremiah said. That's repentance. That's repentance. Surrender and yield. And He'll save you from the gutter to the uttermost. Praise God.
I need Your grace to make it through.
Let's pray. All He's even singing. Let's just pray. All the will. Listen, call upon His name. Call upon Him while He may be found. Call upon Him today. Children, pray. You're never too young to pray. You're never too young to pray. Children, just call upon His name. Put your faith in Jesus Christ. I mean, with all of your heart, surrender to Him. Trust in Him to be your Savior. He'll come. He'll visit you. He'll let you know that you passed from death into life. He'll let you know that you have eternal life in His Son, Jesus. He came to save you, give you eternal life. Oh, just surrender. Just yield. Call upon His name. Pray. Pray. Seek His face. Ask for forgiveness of sin. Ask for eternal life. Ask for the blood of Jesus to be applied to your account so you can escape the wrath of God. It's coming. It's coming. One of these days the Lord's coming in power and great glory, and the earth is going to shake as a fig tree that shaketh its untimely figs. The Bible says the suns are going to refuse to shine. The moon's going to turn to blood. The stars are going to fall from heaven. The Bible says that the rich men and the great men and the mighty men, they're going to run for the rocks and the mountains to hide them, from the face of the Lamb. Listen, the Lamb of God that died on the cross of Calvary to save your soul from sin, He's coming and He's going to ask you, what did you do with my death? What did you do with my life? What did you do with what I did on Golgotha's hill? What did you do with that? Why didn't you trust me? Why didn't you believe in the only begotten Son of God? Why didn't you trust me with all of your heart? Trust Him today. He'll save you to the uttermost.